room to discuss their plans.
Michelle.
The purpose of this meeting is for the IFB to start its redeliberations for the proposals in the Vera Plants project and start by discussing the three main issues raised by respondents. The first issue, issue one, the scope of the amendments. Approximately half of all respondents suggested extending the scope to bearer livestock. There was also significant support for following a predominant use or business model approach for both plants and livestock. Now, the staff recommendation is to keep the scope of the exposure draft unchanged, except to tighten up the wording in part C of a definition of bearer plant. This is because whilst we agree with many of the comments raised in the exposure draft, we think consideration of an expansion of its scope will raise practical and conceptual issues that perhaps belong better in a comprehensive review of IS 41. The ISB developed the exposure draft to address a limited scope based on its knowledge of the issues in the context of bearer plants, based on the work done by the Malaysian Accounting Standards Board about bearer plants and using significant input from plantation companies. The staff is concerned that we don't have this level of knowledge for livestock and we haven't considered the practicalities of applying a cost model to livestock. So the staff recommendation is because the exposure draft is perceived as an improvement in financial reporting for plantation companies, the staff see merit in completing this project with the limited scope, with a view to performing a full review of IS 41 in the near future. So the question for the ISB is in paragraph 19, and that's, does the ISB agree the scope of the exposure draft should remain unchanged, except to modify part C of the definition as suggested in paragraph 18 and 19?
Aye.
Yes, Ian?
I agree with the broad recommendation, and I think livestock are quite different. They do sell them. They are able to be sold, and they do sell them quite often. And the other point I noted here is they're not attached to the ground. You could tie them up. But the only thing I'd put caution on, Michelle, is your comment that we'll do a full review of IS 41. We haven't ever given an undertaking for that, and we have an agenda consultation next year, and we can't be intimating to our constituents that we are committed to doing this until we've been through proper process. So I wouldn't use that as a basis.
That remains to be seen.
Yes.
Amaro.
Yeah. Just like Ian, I do agree if not extending the scope of this project. We were very clear about the object of this project since inception and where it comes from, the Emerging Economies Group, and then before that, the Malaysian work on that. I just have one question on your suggestion to replace the not intended by likelihood is remote. So this will include probability threshold here. How do you?
I was just looking at a way to tighten up the definition, just to restrict the scope to the plants that we really intending to capture, those that don't have any alternative use.
Okay.
Be sold.
Mary.
I support the staff recommendation regarding scope, what we do, what we don't try to address. Michelle, I did have one comment on the wording of your recommendation in paragraph 45. Do you want that now or do you want to hold on?
You should take it now, see what it was.
Okay, which is, you said the one point of additional guidance from the list of places, points for which people requested guidance, there's one that you did want to address. Said as a practical expedient, an entity may assume a bearer plant in the location and condition necessary for it to be capable of operating in the manner intended when it starts to grow products of commercial value. I don't think that this is a practical expedient, because to me, practical expedient implies an exception to the basic principle. And I think that your comment about, I think focusing on the commercial quantity of production makes sense. I think it's worth adding. I think we can point to the idea that a self-constructed plant does not have to be running at full capacity to be considered in its intended state and condition. But I don't think it's a practical expedient. It could cause a lot of confusion to characterize it that way.
Yeah.
Jung-woo?
Yeah, thank you. I have a similar question as Amaro's. You change the business intention into a likelihood, some kind of threshold. So this change is, you've changed this because of our threshold, collectability threshold introduction into the revenue standard, or do you have any some kind of reason why you changed?
I was just trying to tighten up the wording. Yeah, right. So I was looking, I did look through IFRS to find it, there was some way of expressing this that was the likelihood of it being sold was very remote rather than possible.
I understand. But if yesterday we had another similar issue because of a probability idea when you classify liabilities or equity. So anyway, we have postponed the final decision on introducing the probability concept. Here we are talking about the scope rather than classification. When we consider the probability threshold, but I don't know. This is a very small area in whole standard, and in the PP&E standard. We'll cover this one small item. Other PP&E items do not consider kind of threshold concept. But here, one item in the PP&E is considering the scope in this probability threshold in the scope. So it seems either quite, you know, this area can be very prominent comparing to other items in PP&E. That's what I'm concerned.
So what would your suggestion be?
I prefer go back to the original idea, the business model, what kind of business model application looks better, more consistent with the other items in PP&E, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Philippe? Yeah, I support the staff proposal. I also support changing a little bit the definition of the likelihood to remote probability of selling. When we say scrap sales, is it absolutely clear for everyone that what we mean is actually at the end of the useful life of the bearer asset, that it no longer produces under its normal capacity, under quality, and then it becomes less likely to produce good products, and this is the time when a sale is likely to occur, if any?
I mean, that's
This is what we mean by scrap. Scrap metal, scrap is something well known, but for biological assets, is it clear enough? Or could we say scrap, i.e. At the end of the useful life? Or?
Does it translate?
I mean, I would have to check to see what's been done in practice, if it means anything.
I mean, that scrap for a living asset might not be the same thing as scrap for what is left after production, like you have some bit of metal that cannot recycle, or maybe they're sold for recycling from someone else.
I think in the broad cases, that would be the case.
Pat?
Well, Michelle, you know that I'm not a fan of this change, but when I read these words, the suggestion that you had, I actually kind of had a bit of a wry smile, because as I think Chung-woo points out, I think what you're doing is you're making it more difficult to essentially get in the scope of IAS 16. So I support the board's recommendation. So with alacrity. So I have no problem with it. I see problems with it, but I have no problem with it.
Sue?
I agree with your recommendation, and I actually liked the change in wording that you had in question one, for the reason that I thought generally we were trying to move away from intent-based accounting. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I thought that using these words was a better articulation.
Okay. Can we support the staff recommendation to not enlarge the scope of the project?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
For people listening, how many votes was that?
Sorry?
14. No, 15, I think. Jungwoo didn't vote, support, but.
Yeah, try to look. Okay, yeah, 15.
Would the board also support the amendment to part C of the definition?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, but please consider my point about scrap, because by restricting a little bit, by changing the threshold, we put a lot of emphasis on the notion of scrap sales, and I wanted that people don't really understand that it has to be at a point where really the asset is worth nothing.
Yes.
It is at the point where the asset is no longer used in its normal way.
Okay, Michelle.
The next issue, issue two, it starts at paragraph 20, and it's on accounting for the growing produce. Again, approximately half of all respondents didn't support the proposals in this area due to the practical difficulties of measuring fair value. The staff are continuing to recommend produce should be measured at fair value through profit or loss during growth, because we believe it being inappropriate to have a different measurement for produce growing on a plant than other consumable biological assets such as produce growing in the ground. The staff notes IS 41 does provide relief for measurement difficulties via paragraphs 10C and paragraph 30 of IS 41. And for the purposes of applying those paragraphs, the staff interprets initial recognition would be when the produce starts to grow, and therefore the exemptions would be available to each new cycle of produce.
So this is no change to the existing standard?
Yes. There's just in two of the questions I'm proposing no change, and the last question just a slight change on the basis of conclusion. But the questions for the ISB in paragraph 35 is, firstly, does the ISB agree that the produce growing on the bearer plant should be accounted for at fair value through profit or loss in accordance with IS 41, which would be unchanged from the exposure draft?
Yes. There you go.
The recognition threshold, you know, can I interpret as, you know, if, you know, there is no reliable measure, then you will not either recognize at fair value or cost. Means, you know, there is a possibility, you know, you will recognize some of those expenses as a general expenses and period. All right.
My understanding is, I think there is a slight inconsistency with paragraph 10C and paragraph 30, because paragraph 30 does say that you're only exempt from fair value measurement if that fair value measurement is clearly unreliable. But that 10C says both cost, you're only exempt from measurement if both cost and fair value cannot be measured reliably. So you could, I think that the problem is you, if you fall into paragraph 30, and then you're exempt because the fair value measurement isn't clearly reliable, then you fall into cost, and it may be that cost is more difficult to measure than fair value itself, and therefore you could actually consider you're in paragraph 10C, which says if fair value and cost cannot be measured reliably, then you would just expense the cost. So I think there's a slight inconsistency there.
I personally feel this explanation is quite practical. In some cases, you know, not change our principle, but in some cases, you actually exempted to recognize an asset.
Doc?
I understand the argument about reliability is very important. However, I think the argument about the consistency is more important. And in the BC, in the exposure draft, which is, just a moment, BC 29, it talks about consistency between the produce growing in the ground. However, I don't think there is an importance on the consistency with the produce growing in the ground. Typical produce growing in the ground would be the forestry industry, like for the timber.
But then
here comes
we're talking carrots.
Yeah. So that's what I want to say. The carrots are the short-term product, so the production cycle is quite short. normally it's shorter than 1 year. I don't think it's very important to measure it by value basis, because production cycle is within the 1 year. The industry like forest, then forestry, it is quite important to measure it for value basis. But for the carrot, I can't find any importance for measuring it fair value. So to me, to keep the consistency with the produce on the ground, it's not really important. Rather, I think the consistency between the bearer plant itself and produce on the bearer plant is more important, because the bearer plant is measured under the IS-16, whereas produce of bearer plants would be measured under IS-41. Then you have to handle two measurement bases for the one product, and that would create some structuring opportunity, and that would create, you know, a lot of nuisance. So then I think it's more important to keep the consistency with within the IS-16 world. Once you put the bearer plant into the IS under IS-16, to keep it in the IS-16 and don't bring it back to the IS-41. That is the argument. So I do not support.
Then to keep in inventory rather than
yes.
In 16.
IS, yeah, inventory, IS-2.
Yeah.
Darryl?
There were a couple of reasons why I was originally comfortable with the idea of amortized cost for the bearer plants. It was the fact that the predictive value of a bearer plant is not particularly meaningful, because you're not going to sell it. The intent is to keep it. The fact that it was attached to the ground meant that you couldn't actually you couldn't sell it on its own. The fact that there was no further biological transformation meant that that process had ended. None of those three things for me work for the fruit. The fruit is sellable. It can be separately detached from the plant. It doesn't relate to the underlying land. There is predictive value in the valuation that you place on the on the fruit, because you're going to sell that fruit. And there is, in fact, biological transformation happening. There is a change that's happening over time. So I hear where Tuck is coming from, but to me, the primary reason why we actually address this for bearer plants gets taken away if we start thinking about the fruit, because the fruit has all of these other elements. So I strongly support where the staff are going.
Amaro?
I think I was in the same leaning as Dario. I do strongly support here. Although there are lots of reasonable comments and with regards to the valuation of the growing plan, I think this is an issue of scope of the project. I do not want to expand the scope as farther from what we decided before. This could be a good discussion if at some point in the future we decide to review IS-41, but this is not really our objective here. So, and I think the exceptions provided in IFRS 41 is working, at least in the region that I'm more familiar with. It's working. I would say that in most cases they assume it's not reliable, and then they use either cost that don't or expensive.
Surprised, yeah.
Yes, so it's working. I strongly support it.
I agree with what Amaro just said. However, is there in practice in some jurisdictions a problem with this clearly unreliable element in paragraph 30?
I think my understanding is it's being interpreted differently in some jurisdictions.
Yeah.
So in some jurisdictions it's being used quite freely. In other jurisdictions it's being interpreted as you can never really use it, virtually never.
So is there something we could do to get a more consistent application? I'm not suggesting that we say to Brazil they're doing it incorrectly,
mm-hmm.
but is there something that we could, you know, do to those paragraphs? I mean, you said yourself that they seem to be inconsistent.
My own personal view would be that paragraph 30 is inconsistent with other standards, such as investment property and PP&E. So it would make more sense to be measured reliably rather than clearly unreliable, because it almost creates a higher hurdle that's not in any other.
I agree. I mean, I'm not quite sure what clearly unreliable means. I delete the word clearly.
Yeah.
No, makes sense. If that improves consistency.
Do you want to have a think about that and talk about it at the next meeting?
I did. Well, I brought that as a side issue back in February, but I was considered it might be something that was outside the scope of the project because it would apply to other biological assets. But I'm happy to take it on board if.
It would be an alignment in terms of language, right?
Mm.
I would say it's not Stephen mentioned Brazil, but I mean the whole region, Latin America, is heavily commodity driven. So vineyards and oranges and sugarcane, there are lots of different commodities in that region that are biological, I mean. And well, the way they understand clearly unreliable is that if I not rely on the valuation, so it's not clear reliable. So clearly in that case, it's just a reinforcement. Just reinforce the unreliability. So
way to clearly, you will just lower the threshold.
Yeah, exactly. So in practice, it works. But of course, if we can align the language, that's okay. But
I have no objection to the staff recommendation, but as I read this, I had a question which is raised later on the paper. It has to do with the unit of account. As Tuck kind of hinted at this, we have one method of accounting for the bare plant. We have another method of accounting for the produce coming off the plant. And the question I have is, are you going to have the same unit of account? Are you going to go and count all the various pieces of fruit and account for them one way? Probably not. Are you going to account for the bare plants as individual bare plants or as a collection, as a portfolio, if you will? Okay. I don't think you can have a difference there. And this is one of the reasons why I think the arguments around fair value and the complexity and the difficulty of it kind of fall down. Because you have to estimate costs on an aggregate basis. To estimate the cost of an individual tree is ridiculous, right? If you can estimate the cost of the plantation, well then, coming up with the revenue line, which then gives you your net present value that you're going to discount, is not very difficult. So the issue here in terms of congruity of the way we're measuring the bare plant and the fruit, I think also has implications for these questions about clearly reliable or reliable. And it's the reason why I think this whole initiative has a weakness to it. The argument doesn't make sense. I get the argument around volatility of fair values through P&L. That makes complete sense. But not being able to calculate, that makes no sense at all.
I don't think anybody ever said that. I think the two arguments were that it was a costly exercise, and secondly, that indeed the P&L information was not particularly relevant.
But the costly argument doesn't make sense then.
Yeah, but Pat, we've had this debate.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is tax raising a very valid issue.
Well,
you can't do one without the other.
You started with unit of account, and then you drifted away into other things. I don't think unit of account's a problem, in either estimating the cost or in estimating the fair value of the crop. So I don't see what, and I don't agree with Tuck's theory that the two are connected. I think the crop can be viewed quite separately from the bare plant. I know it's attached to it.
My question then, though, is do you have a different unit of account, or do you account for them as an aggregate?
Or do you account for either of them in the most sensible way? And as you said, probably
16 is silent on this.
Yeah, sure.
So the question is, how are you going to do it?
Well, obviously we're not going to require
silent either. How can we,
But there's an awful lot of weakness then in the argument that you're making around cost that doesn't hang together.
Mary?
A first response to the idea that we also go back and try and resolve the inconsistency in terms of the comments about unreliable that are in the standard. While it's appealing to me to think about doing that while we have the standard open, I think we have to, on balance, I suggest we not do it. We had a limited scope for this project. I think whenever we open a standard, we can find other things that we can do along the way. And we didn't expose it. We didn't ask people to give us feedback on that. And it's not that it's a major change, but we didn't ask for feedback on that. And I think we should just say we assessed the feedback we got on what we're planning to do. That was the focus of our project, and let's take note of that, and that would maybe feed into a consideration of whether or not we need to do a more comprehensive review of 41. It seems like a little thing, but you can always have scope creep.
Gary? Actually, I second what Mary had to say, is although there's some intellectual logic about expanding this to produce or to livestock, I don't think we'll ever get done. I mean, if they start thinking about produce, I mean, you carry it at fair value unless it's unreliable. If you have something that's got crosses 2 or 3 quarters in a year, well, early on, you've just got the buds, you know, and how many bees pollinate it and stuff. I think it's unreliable early, but eventually it becomes reliable. And so what is we being to come with the guidance? What's the line between unreliable and reliable? And for that matter, I think you make a case, if something's only a seasonal plant, you're only crossing, say, 1 quarter period, why even bother, you know, with it? Because it sort of cleans itself out, resolves itself, I should say, in one annual period. But if you got timber or something that takes 20 years to grow, or Christmas trees, that's something different. I think we're going to add 2 years to the project if we expand the scope. Likewise, I think for livestock as well, maybe not in a long period of extension, but where there's, of course, analogies, but it's some livestock you shear for wool, you know, and on. And I think we keep the scope tight, fighting our inclination that this is a narrow scope project, and keep it that way.
So who supports the staff recommendation? And we leave clearly unreliable alone.
How many was that?
Huh?
I thought it was everyone. People listening to the meeting like to know how many people have voted.
Pat was not there.
Is that 15?
What's that?
I was not voting.
15. And there's just a couple of other small parts to that question, and that's a number of respondents asked for additional guidance on measuring the produce, but the staff recommendation is that it would be difficult to develop that specific guidance because the guidance would be so specific to the type of produce, and so the proposal is not to add additional guidance, which is unchanged from the exposure draft.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Yes.
Yes. And the final question is, staff wonder, because a number of respondents to the exposure draft asked whether if the board could give some indication that these paragraphs were available to them. They weren't sure whether they could use the exemption in IS-30 in the case of the produce. And so the staff was recommending adding something to the basis of conclusions just to affirm that the practical difficulties in measurement may lead preparers to consider those paragraphs, and to also explain that those paragraphs were considered when the ISB were determining the appropriate accounting treatment. The staff just wondered if the ISB members felt that something like that should be added to the basis for conclusions, just to point them, for people who are not sure whether that they can consider those for the growing produce.
I would have thought it has to be added to the basic conclusions anyway, because we've discussed it as part of this discussion. So it's I'm a little bit concerned sometimes in writing something into the basis of conclusions if we think it's going to change the way people think about it. But I think you get there anyway, and I think we'd have to do that, as I say, as a summary of what we discussed.
Yeah.
Well, it's explaining why we don't need to make particular changes, and that in itself is interpretive, but it's emphasising that there's the pathway there.
Okay.
And just on the last question, Hans, the appendix A1, you say quite rightly, I think, in the first paragraph of that some of these issues, it will depend on the tentative decisions made today. And I think you also get the mood that we're not looking to expand the scope of this in any way, so that when you're looking at what you're going to bring back, you probably won't get a very good reception, something that's going to expand the scope in any way. So look at it from that point of view.
Yeah. Shall I move on to issue 3?
Yes.
Issue 3 starts at paragraph 36 It's on guidance on applying I-16 to bearer plants. Nearly all those who requested additional guidance asked for guidance on when the plant is in the location and condition necessary for it to be capable of operating in the manner intended, in accordance with paragraph 16b of I-16. In other words, when it's deemed to reach maturity. The staff recommendation is to add guidance for adding this paragraph specifically to bearer plants. The staff suggestion was to say this is when plants start to grow produce of commercial value. However, in the last week or so, we have had a bit of feedback that this is perhaps a bit vague. We've also been told for internal reporting purposes, some entities consider maturity to be the point actually when revenue exceeds production costs incurred to date. So the staff note that this guidance that the staff are proposing may need to be, we may need to actually say what we mean by commercial value. The staff is also not proposing any other guidance on applying I-16 to bearer plants. So the questions for the ISB are in paragraph 48, and we might want to split the first question into two. And that's firstly, does the ISB agree guidance should be added to I-16 on when a bearer plant is in the location and condition necessary?
Just paragraph 46.
Yes, 46. Question 5.
Yeah. But that no other guidance on applying I-16 is necessary.
Sue?
Thanks, Michelle. On the point you raised about more words, I think we do need more words, because if I read, while I agree with your proposal on question 5 as a sort of general idea, when I read the words when it starts to grow produce of commercial value, I wouldn't have got to the conclusion that's in 38B that meant we had 25% of yield. I think arguably as soon as you had some mature produce you could sell, it might not be worth doing, but it's got value. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to clarify what we mean there to get what we intend.
Yeah.
Also, consistent with what Mary said earlier, I'm not so keen on the words practical expedient.
Yeah.
Partly because I'm not sure I even know what those words mean, and I'm not sure people read them consistently. Mm-hmm. And I'd be a bit concerned that those words, as a practical expedient, might mean to somebody, you can do it this way if you want to, but you can do it a different way if you feel like it as well. This is one way you can think about it, mm-hmm. and I don't think that's what we mean. So I'd be cautious using those words.
All I intended was to apply to bearer plants and not to apply to other items of PP&E, but there are probably better ways to express
it. It says it may assume for bearer plants. Mm. Only for bearer plants would be better, if that's what you mean.
Yeah.
I agree with staff proposal, not add more guidance, you know. This is area we have to be principle-based, you know. When I was a chief planner, so many cases around the, you know, timing to transfer from the self-constructed asset into PPE. It's hard to judge and hard to provide any specific guidance, because as staff said in the paper, you know, so many different kind of PPEs, and impossible. As to whether we should add as practical experience or not, I'm not very clear. So let's assume we agree to add this. Then how to label it? We still have to, Mary, what's your idea, you know? There is a general principle about, you know, when you should recognize as PPE. Then the staff proposed to add this paragraph. And if you say it, delete the practical experience.
Just,
you know,
those words, I think we meant. Just take away the words as a practical expedient.
My comment earlier was that I thought that...
So an entity may...
Yes.
You say enough.
Or I would even say an entity shall, first of all.
Yeah. No, shall is... Because we have a principle, you know. So I think may is okay, you know.
That does mean somebody else can... If it says may, that means you can think of it a different way if you feel like it.
Sorry to interrupt you. What's our objective here? Is to require or allow? Because those four words, practical, expedient, and may assume, simply it's an open option. I think this is the issue.
I accept the idea that we have a general principles about when you should recognize PPE. Mm-hmm. It's two principle based. And then, you know, we have many standards, we have such kind of, you know, addition. Say that, you know, I will agree to delete as a practical experience, but this will give people some kind of tools, say, you know, in some circumstances you can do this way. I agree with, you know.
And I think, I mean, there can be circumstances where it is clearly not in the right location, and would you still want to apply it even though that circumstance exists?
No, I'm not sure what we're trying to...
Well, what we heard from respondents is, I think there's nearly half of the respondents asked for guidance in this area, because they said without it there'll be significant diversity, because you get a stage maybe where a plant after 4 years is operating at 25% of its maximum capacity. They said, is that when it reaches maturity, or is it when it starts to grow fruit, or is it when it's at, say, 100% of its capacity in, say, year seven? And they said, if we didn't have something like this, there would be diversity in practice. So that was the intention, was just to say, sort of...
I'm not convinced there is an issue very different from any other issue in IS-16. The question is when you start depreciating this asset, this bearer asset. And yes, it starts producing at a certain point. It may have a curve of getting into full-blown production. Is it very different from any factory, any retail store? If you have a supermarket, it will not be full the first day. It will take some time for the full potential to realize, but still you begin to depreciate when it is open and start selling. So I'm not sure there is such a big difference, economically speaking.
I think there can be. I just want to go back to my macadamias. In about the second year, 7 years to full maturity, the second year, you might get a few fruit.
There is no commercial value there in this product then.
No, that's why I quite like what's written.
Yeah, I like it too. I like it too, but I'm not convinced that we must try to provide more guidance. I agree, some guidance about commercial value, but 25% production in terms of volume, it can be very good produce. So there is commercial value. It's not full rhythm of production. I don't see any reason to delay beginning the amortization or depreciation at the point where you reach 100%. I would not do that. Maybe the way you depreciate units of production may solve the issue if you adopt a system based on the units of production. But I think the starting point should be when there is something which can be sold as with the quality intended from that produce, regardless of the quantity, I would say.
Can't be regardless.
The chemical complex is a typical example. You know, after a long-term construction period, they will go through a period of period test. And let's assume first test will come out 1 ton of a particular material.
Commercial value would, I think, capture this notion that the produce has been recognized as being capable of being sold for what it is intended to be. A good quality produce, we should reach the market on and as commercial value. It has nothing to do with the quantity, I think, in this case.
Now, Philippe, let's assume, normal process, because of safety regulation and others, have to go through 3 steps. And the first step test by some regulators, and then result will be 1 ton of particular material. I personally once experienced such a case many times. And there's commercial value. You can sell it. But overall, it's still not up to a period you should recognize as PPE. Now, I think my personal general position is keep silent,
May I just, it's the same topic, because if the objective is to reduce inconsistency in application, I don't think this guidance will help us in reducing diversity in practice, because it's an open alternative for them. So it might be better for us to follow what Weigu said, to keep silent, and then let they act as they do today with other PPE within IS-16.
At the thousands of plantations building. Stephen?
My inclination is to not say too much on this. However, there was something that you said that troubled me. You said that some had suggested interpreting commercial value as the point where cumulative revenue exceeds cumulative costs incurred. Did you say that? Mm-hmm. That seems way too late to me.
Yeah.
That's a break
even.
It's
like saying I've built a hotel and I don't start depreciating it until my cumulative income from letting rooms is more than the cost of building the thing, which is clearly ridiculous.
Well, I hope that's what they're doing for internal management reporting. Obviously, yeah. They've quite a fair value for external reporting.
So they're trying to get to that point that you've got in 38B, aren't they?
Mm. I think.
So I do feel that we need to say something about commercial value. I mean, is there something in terms of marginal cost, sort of revenue exceeding incremental cost or marginal cost in the period?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, is that getting too specific and it wouldn't work in particular situations?
Gary?
I support giving some guidance in your question for Michelle. The recommendation in paragraph 45, and putting aside that it says as a practical expedient and how we handle it, is this in addition to or replacement of a location and condition necessary to be operating?
It's an addition. It'd be
okay.
Guidance on applying that paragraph.
Okay, so it's an addition to it, but it's not necessarily an either or.
No. It was because that paragraph would apply to all PP&E, and it's just additional guidance for how that would be interpreted in the specific case of bearer plants.
And all we're trying to do is when's the point where you stop capitalizing development costs. And you draw the point on commercial value. I'm just wondering, would a better word be commercial quantities? You know, because prices go up and down, and one year the same number of oranges or have commercial value worth selling, but next year the price is dropped and it's not worth picking the same number. So I'm just thinking commercial quantities might be a better way to express it. I mean, the group thought value is a better expression. I wouldn't disagree with it, but intuitively I think a quantity measure as opposed to a price measure might be a better way to articulate.
Amaru?
I would really insist not to add guidance on this particular issue. Even within the paragraph, there are a number of expressions and words that we'll surely need to define and expand this project. Even if we cross practical expedient that I don't agree to include, well, may assume is open an option. We have, again, the intention, operating the manner intended by the management, and then comes to commercial value. I really don't think this will help reduce inconsistency in application. I think this will bring more inconsistent. I think this will bring more questions to the interpretation committee. And I think it might even drive questions about other similar PP&E under IS 16. So I do believe it's not appropriate for us to add guidance here.
Yeah, I agree with you. You can use this exact word
to
other PPE the same.
Mm.
I think delete is okay.
So, general conclusion, Michelle?
The staff is asking whether this is the only area to provide guidance. So, firstly, whether ISB members want to add guidance in this area and if they're happy with it.
That doesn't seem to be the case.
Could we take a vote?
I would. I'm sorry, what's the question?
So who would include guidance in this area? Sorry,
would include.
Would. Who would support the staff recommendation to add guidance?
Five.
And then we should ask who would not?
Well, it's not necessary anymore.
Okay.
So the final part of the question is, I assume that people, the ISB members, are still happy to keep the bearer plants in the scope of IS 16 if we're not adding any more guidance, it makes sense.
I would like to comment. On the question six, I disagree with the staff's recommendation. I think if we measure produce fair value basis in the IS 16, I disagree with the staff's recommendation. In that case, we should keep this amendment within the IS 41 and try to refer to IS 16 is much better. Because if we incorporate all of these into the IS 16, it's going to be very messy. Because as I pointed out, there is an inconsistency between the bearer plants and the produce within that S16. So I do not like having a different measurement standard in the within the IS-16. So therefore, I would like to keep this amendment within IS-41 and refer to IS-16.
But just as a point of clarity, Michelle, does 16 would only include the plant itself, not the produce, wouldn't it?
Yes, that's right.
So there's not going to be two things in 16.
But my point is, if you are a manufacturer and not a farmer, and then you have to refer to IS-16 and IS-41, both.
Okay.
Yeah, and then that is exactly. that would cause a lot of issue. Like,
but if you've got a machine, it's in 16, and the widgets that it makes is in 2.
Yes. Yeah. And the revenue in 15.
Yeah, that is exactly the point, because IS-16 is already established standard, and there is nothing wrong with IS-16 so far. So then, why do we have to incorporate IS-41's nuisance into the IS-16, like Weigel pointed out? So if we add some comment like this, then it may affect other PPE as well. So therefore, we have to be very careful to commingle such a different idea into the one standard. Why do we have to do that? This is the issue of IS-41. Then keep it in the IS-41.
I just think we just voted overwhelmingly in favor of. I mean, Tuck is entitled to his.
He's being consistent with.
Yes, I think so. But I think the rest of the board was in favor.
Just to understand the wording, what we would say in 41, the definition of a bearer biological asset would be given in 41. And then we'd say for those assets, you apply A16, or would we have to transfer into 16 all the paragraphs that define the conditions for an asset to be considered as a bearer biological? Where do we put much of the stuff, actually, in terms of defining the scope to which standard it does pertain?
We have the definition in IS-16, and that's pretty much all we do with IS-16, is to put the definition of bearer plants in there and then explain in the scope where it is. But we haven't changed the rest of IS-16.
Yeah. And 41 would say, except for those which fulfill those criteria.
Yes. I mean, we could put the definition in both if that would help.
I will support the Tucker's ideas. You know, definitions will be in 41. They refer to recognition measurement to 16, that's all. It will be much more, because you can think about cumulatively.
Yes.
You know, we add one paragraph related to agriculture. Then next time we add another ones related to oil and gas industry. And then 16 will be something which seems, you know, a mix of principles with industrial guidance. Yeah. And from the old discussion we up to now, we will not add any industry guidance. The only thing we decide is if you meet the definition of the scope, and refer to 16 in terms of recognition measurement at all.
Yeah.
And then why we add 1-2 paragraph about the scope into 16 seems, you know, I don't think it's a good idea.
But actually, the bearer plants meet the definition of the property plant equipment. So what we have in the scope at the moment is the definition of property plant equipment, and then we scope out the things that are in IS-41.
Michelle, I was going to ask you on that. I mean, this is a discussion we had in the run-up to issuing the ED, and at that time we made the decision to propose putting these in IS-16. I think the decision we just took about not adding any guidance to IS-16 on how to determine when a bearer plant reaches maturity limits the risk that Tuck was concerned about comments that we have, that we make in the context of bearer plants having unintended consequences for other pieces of PP&E. So I think that our decision not to add guidance helps us keep it in 16. Did we have any feedback in the comment letters, especially from international organizations? I'm thinking of IOSCO or regional standard setters beyond those impacted most directly. I know we had a bunch from plantation owners. From the international organizations that said, we are concerned about your decision to put this in 16 because of the consequences for other areas?
No, the only concerns were if we added additional guidance on on specific to bearer plants that then it would be used to interpret.
So I think we tested what we were planning to do in terms of structure. We didn't have concern from those who would be thinking at, you know, outside the industry view, and I would say let's go with the what we proposed in the ED, which is leaving
about
16.
I thought
a little bit like we go that the idea was to make as few changes to 16 as possible and to have all the discussion of what is a bearer biological asset as opposed to livestock, etc., in 41. To keep all this distinction, which needs to be seen as a whole, what is agricultural produce assets, and then to say if you meet those criteria, apply 16, but not transpose all that stuff into 16, because as Wego said, in 16 we don't have a lot of discussions about what is factory as opposed
we're
to.
We're not transposing that in. We're not transposing all that detail into 16.
Well, I thought that Michel had answered my question by saying that the discussion of what is a bearer biological asset would be in 16, which I don't agree to. I think it has to be in 41.
It's just the definition. The actual discussion is also still in IS 41.
Definition.
You can just have the scoped definition in 16 saying bearer biological assets are here as defined in 41, instead of taking all the stuff into 16 and make it.
That's not what they're not doing then. She's just taking the definition into 16.
Is that correct?
Not all the other stuff.
Yeah.
But the definition is a lengthy definition with a lot of criteria here. Do we have
at the moment, we even have the definition in IS 41. We just refer to the definition in IS
16.
We have one additional paragraph just about we're saying construction should mean to apply how to relate bearer plants to items construction in progress. Paragraph 22A of the exposure draft. We just got that one in, but I don't think that would be cause any issues.
Okay, we'll keep as much as possible in 41, as little as possible in 16 and 5.
Okay. In agreement?
Yes. On what? Question 6.
Question 6. No. Question 6 we're talking about.
Do we need to take a vote on question 6?
Yeah. I think it was.
Yes. Yeah. There's a voting to keep it in I-16.
We do agree with question 6.
So what's the answer to? Yeah. 12.
Hands agreed as well.
Who disagrees?
Well, sir.
Wegwo. Tungwu, Tech, and.
No,
Matt.
I said yes.
Oh,
no,
sorry. You. So you had to hand down one to the second count.
Sorry.
So it's 13-3.
Okay, the final question is just to see if ISB members have any further issues they want the staff to bring to the next meeting, apart from those in paragraph A1. My understanding is you don't want me to bring back the rewording of the exemption to get rid of the clearly and the clearly unreliable. My understanding is that you don't want that to come back, but are there any other issues? That
I had one question, and that is how would you go about depreciating an open portfolio of plants? So if the unit of account is the plantation, not the individual tree, how do you depreciate an open portfolio of, you know, various biological assets that are being planted, dying, etc.? How do you do that?
Well, my understanding of what they're doing for internal reporting purposes is they do say a planting year, so allocate a unit account being a particular planting year. And then they would deem the maturity of that to be those plants as a whole. So say they planted a field at the same time within the same year, they would determine that maturity was as a whole on that field. So say on average, say the plants reach maturity after 3 years, they would designate it, they would capitalize all the costs up to 3 years, and then they would start depreciating the field from that point.
That to manage a plantation, you've got to have knowledge of all your trees and how old they are and how long they're going to last. And so it's exactly the same as property, plant, and equipment in a factory. You know how old your machines are, you know how long they're likely
to go. They're typically depreciated on an individual basis. Well, you don't lump all your forklifts together.
But you can do it either way.
You could, but you typically don't.
We don't give guidance on that.
No, I know you don't. So that was the question that was put. And I'm just asking, how would you do it?
Well, that's what I've been heard they're doing already for internal management reporting purposes, whether or not it would be compliant
but
with ISO.
It's not an issue that I guess, well, you're saying for internal management reporting purposes, meaning they're on a cost basis for internal management reporting?
Yeah. can you do?
So that they're clearly turning it from, instead of an open portfolio, by doing it by year, they're effectively closing it year by year. Mm-hmm. And then presumably if you've got, you know, some sort of a bug or bacteria or something and you have to impair part of that, that portfolio, you do.
No other questions? Okay, thank you very much, Michelle. Let's break till 10 past 10.